Hello and welcome to Witchy Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Danae Sweet, and this is episode 26. On today's episode, we're going to talk about altar tools, altars, why we use them, what are some of the most common altar tools, and what are they and how do you use them? This is a subject that was suggested through our Witchy Woman Friends group. So thank you so much for the suggestions. I want to keep doing episodes that you find valuable, that you guys want to hear about, and that are interesting. And I really, really appreciate the input and the help with all this. Before I get started on today's subject, I just want to give everybody an update. I've been getting messages asking about the kitty cats and the kittens and how they're doing. They're doing fantastic. One of them, Dre, got a little sick, so we had to give him some fluids and some medicine, some antibiotics, but he is feeling much better. It must have been something bacterial is what we're thinking. And then we found three more kittens when we went down last time to the ranch, my daughter and I. We actually went down to look for some black kittens that I had found when my hubby and I were there, but we didn't have any way of getting them home, like a box or anything. So I went back to the ranch with my daughter, and we were looking around and found three new kittens. Looked relatively healthy, but the mother was not doing well. She's really thin, just not doing well, and the kittens were old enough we could remove them from her safely and they'd be fine, and she'd actually bounce back a lot better if she's not feeding them. So anyway, they are inside. So right now I have five kittens, two house cats, two chihuahuas, and a pit bull in my around 1,200 square foot house. So it's a freaking zoo up in here, but it's so awesome. There's freaking kittens running around. They're very, very well, like the two older ones, Dre and Snoop are really good. They're litter box trained now. They eat, they drink. I don't have to like make them do anything. They just kind of do their own thing. They're like adolescent teenage kitties is what they kind of act like now. They're going through a gangly stage, so they're like all legs. It's adorable. So they are out and about. I don't have to kennel them at night or anything, and they've actually been sleeping with me, which is so freaking cute. I have two floofy brown kitties that sleep like near my neck because they like to hear my heartbeat. And then Milton and Tinkerbell, my other two cats, sleep like Tinkerbell likes to sleep on our pillows or basically on top of our heads, and then Milton sleeps on my left side. And then I have Pablo, my chihuahua, that always sleeps on my right side, and then Freddie, the older chihuahua, sleeps under the covers kind of down by my feet. So I am like surrounded by my fur babies at night, which I absolutely love. I love being so close to them and I can feel their warmth, and it's just so comforting to have them all with me. My husband, on the other hand, he's like, Jesus Christ, we have too many damn animals in this bed. So I think he's kind of looking forward to the time when I have to let go and give the babies to their new mommies, which will be pretty soon for the two older boys. Probably within the next couple weeks they can go. And then the other ones, I do have some prospective homes for them. So, but they're probably another three weeks out. They probably could go a little earlier, but I worry about them getting any kind of sickness or anything. Their immune systems are so fragile at this age, and I want to get their shots and everything done before they go. So anyway, that's the kitty cat status. I also wanted, I had some people asking how my depression is going, how I'm handling all the life changes and the shit that the universe has decided to throw at me, and I'm actually doing pretty well. I want to give, like, they're not sponsoring me in any way, shape, or form, but that herbal blend that I've been taking called Joy Filled is amazing. I can definitely tell a difference. The dose says, like, take two once a daily, but I take one in the morning with my breakfast, and then I take one at noon, and that seems to be, that seems to, like, make it last a little longer. And if I take two at once, it kind of makes me a little jittery, probably because I overindulge in caffeine in the morning. Like, three cups of coffee is not a biggie for me to do, so I'm guessing that's what was doing it. If I didn't drink coffee, I bet I could take two at a time, but that's not gonna happen, let's be honest. Other than the herbs, I've been getting sleep. I started taking another herbal blend called Luna, and it's the melatonin free kind, and they're not a sponsor either. Somebody was wanting to know what I'm doing for myself, and this is what I'm doing. I knew I needed more sleep, so I was trying to figure out ways to help my body relax so I could fall asleep. Pain is a big thing for me. The lupus flare-ups have been insane, so I have a hard time letting, my body has a hard time releasing and letting go so I can sleep. So I've been taking this stuff, and it actually works really, really well. I give myself a week off because it does have some herbs that can be harsh for long-term use on your kidneys. So I do give it a little bit. I do like a week or two of use, and then I'll do a week without, which is actually, I've noticed on my week without, my sleep patterns are holding for the most part. I do have a problem staying asleep because of the pain, so I do notice that, but I am able to fall asleep without it, which before, I was just laying awake till like 1 or 2 in the morning until my body just finally gave up, and now I can actually fall asleep when I need to. So that is that. As far as my other self-care, I've been doing more salt baths, more meditations. I've been doing yoga every morning for stress relief for my back pain. I have tons of back pain right now. I went to the chiropractor, and I have a problem with not enough curve in my lower back, and I guess it got worse, probably from sitting in an office job too long. So I'm doing traction for that, which is so super fun. It's like a form of torture, but I do notice that I'm able to stand longer, which is fantastic. So I am doing things to help myself, which was the key. Before, I didn't even care or give a shit to do any of this, and now I do. I see that things are getting better. I actually got a part-time job, which is fantastic. I was throwing so much intention out into the universe, like I really, really need a job that, one, is going to be something that I can physically do, because I have some limitations right now, and then two, was going to be here in town, so I didn't have to drive all the way to, you know, the next town is an hour away, either way, it's west or east, it's about an hour. So I wanted something here, and a friend needed help at their place, so I've been helping them out just part-time. That's all they have the hours for right now, so I'm hoping I can find another part-time job to kind of fill the holes there in between that and me doing Reiki for other people. So I'm still working on the way I wrap my thoughts around having a muggle job. Like, I think that was a definite, I think that's a lesson that I got to learn. Like, I can still help humanity and have a muggle job. Like, it's okay to not have be balls to the wall all the time trying to heal people and help people. And you know, I think I was just focusing so much on doing that I forgot that I can do muggle stuff. I have a mundane life that is valued, that gives value to others and gives value to myself and my family. And that was something I really needed to learn, which I did. It was hot as shit last week. My back hurt. I had the worst lupus flare-up I think I've ever had so far as pain goes. And on Friday, I'm helping clean rooms at the local motel and kind of helping with the office stuff. And it was hot, like so, so hot. I was miserable. I was having a lot of pain, but I was doing it with a smile on my face because I was so grateful. I am so grateful that the universe, you know, threw this job my way and I was able to get it. So that's definitely a lesson that I learned. I realized that during the biggest part of the day when I was hurting the most and it was like 100 degrees and I thought, you know, why am I smiling? It was because I learned my lesson and I hope I do not have to repeat it. Isn't that the purpose of Mercury retrograde and all these planets in retrograde right now, is to learn the lessons that you need to learn so that we don't have to go through it again? So I'm hoping that I don't have to learn that lesson again, because I really did. I do feel like I got it. I really do feel like I got this lesson on a soul level. So that's that. Things are looking very up. I mean, it's not great financially, but attitude-wise, energy-wise, family-wise, things are amazing. So I'm throwing a lot of gratitude out there for everyone's support, for the chances that I've been given. Not everybody gets them, and I recognize that, and I appreciate it. What else is going on? I don't know if anybody else usually does this, but for me, like the summer starts to kind of die off. Like, it's not the end of summer yet, but like certain leaves are starting to already change on some of the trees I noticed. It's starting to kind of feel like summer is on the downhill slide. And usually, I don't know, probably around when like Maddie goes back to school is when I start feeling the pull to dive into my witchy stuff, like really focus on my spirituality and dive into that stuff. Usually that happens about then, about, I don't know, mid-August, but it's been happening for about 2 weeks. Like, I feel this pull to really, really focus on ritual and maybe I want to organize my Book of Shadows, maybe do a new one and reorganize it, and then separate my rituals and spells out from the correspondence, all my reference material, maybe put them in different books. So I've been really, really pulled to dig all my stuff out and kind of redo it. So I'm kind of excited about that. I ordered some new bullet journals. I'm such a nerd. Like, I got online, I'm like, woo, new bullet journals. I'm so excited. There's nothing special. They're just plain black bullet journals, but it makes me happy. I ordered new pens and like some glitter ones and a ruler, things like that. Just like, I love getting office supplies like that. It makes me so excited. So I'm going to redo things and dive more into researching different subjects, things that I'm called to, but I think it's the turn of the wheel just makes me feel that way. And this year it's earlier, and I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's the current state of my own life that's making me want to dive into it a little more and deeper or what, but I don't know, kind of wanted to throw that out there. I know that my best friend says that she also feels that way, which makes me wonder if all the witchy folks or spiritual folks are starting to kind of feel that pull all early this year. Kind of makes me wonder about the weather and the turning of the seasons, if that's going to come early. So anyway, just a thought. Okay, so why don't we get into the actual subject instead of my personal life? Okay, so I thought we would talk about altars and altar tools this time. Altars are something that I see used in tons of different religions and faiths around the world. It doesn't need to be thought of as just a witchy thing. I went to a Buddhist monastery last year, and when I was staying there, I was in absolute awe of their beautiful altar. It was amazing. It was beautiful, elaborately decorated. It was fantastic. So, Also, if you've been to a Catholic church, I'm sure you've seen their altar. Like, there's one in a town nearby that I went to, and it has this beautiful altar set up for the Virgin Mary, and they have all these candles you can light and to honor her or to send prayers up about to her. It was gorgeous. So altars aren't just for the occult. It's for all kinds of faiths. And I wanted to talk about specifically altars in reference to our witchy paths. And I am not Wiccan. I do not claim any certain witchy path. I'm eclectic. So if while I'm talking about these, this doesn't resonate with your specific flavor of witchiness, then I'm sorry. I'm trying to generalize. Today I'm going to be focusing on the uses for witchcraft and spirituality in general. And I just want to remind everybody that witchcraft is not a religion or faith. It is a practice. So I can be a Christian and practice witchcraft. You can be Buddhist and practice witchcraft. You can be Wiccan and practice witchcraft. I am an eclectic witch. So I pull from all kinds of different areas, and that's my spiritual path, and I practice witchcraft. I know sometimes that can get a little convoluted and confusing, but I wanted to clear that up first so that I didn't get any emails saying, you did this wrong because in this faith, you know, this thing means something different. So anyway, these are very I'm going to go over the very simple definitions of these things. I thought we would start off with what a working altar is. So a working altar is it's the place or space where you do all your spells and rituals. So mine is set up in my she shed. and I used to have my altar in my home when we moved, before we moved up here. And I had it in my office. So all of my witchy stuff was just all pretty much centered into my office. That's where I had my altars. I had all my herbs. Everything was in there. I loved my little witchy space. It was my safe spot. I could shut my door and be alone, and I loved it. One thing I did notice, though, is when I did rituals and spell work in there, I could not freaking sleep or relax for about, you know, anywhere from 3 days to a week afterwards. And before someone texts me or emails and said, well, you didn't ground yourself or you didn't close your circle right or do any of that, I close my circle very religiously. I do it every time I close my workings. I ground myself. I eat something. I drink something. I make sure that if I still am buzzing, I go outside and put my feet in the dirt. I do all of the things that I'm supposed to be doing in order to close my ritual and spell work. But I think that, I don't know if it was because I'm very, very sensitive to energy or what it is, but I think if you raise that much energy on a large scale, I think it can sometimes just be a little much if you're sensitive to any kind of energy fluctuations. So that is one reason I moved my working altar out to the she shed. So it's out there. I do my rituals. I love it out there. I did a really cool eclipse one out there and a full moon. I just really like it. I think the energy out there is fantastic. It's kind of outside. So it's my she shed is basically a tiny old garage. And I have my working altar, all my herbs, my candles, everything is out there. And it's super hot in Nebraska right now. Like think 100 degrees and then like humidity so bad that it feels like you could just like spoon it out of the air. And even at night, it has been so freaking hot. So I open the garage door. It's like a big overhead door. And I open that thing up so I have some airflow and I can see outside and I do my ritual and it's fantastic. And then I close everything out and then it's in there. All that energy stays there, which is fantastic. So anyway, working altar. I kind of got away from myself again. Okay, so a working altar is where you're going to do, you're going to celebrate, if you do any rituals for any kind of Sabbat or Esbat, that's where you're going to do it. You're going to do spells, you're going to do anything that you're working on. So if I'm doing a prosperity spell, I'm going to do it there. If I'm doing, if I'm honoring my ancestors, I do it there. And this isn't 100% true for everyone, but it is for me. So that's where I do anything that I'm going to work on anything, if that makes sense. I also will meditate there if I just really feel like I need a safe, connected spot to feel protected and centered. Sometimes I'll go out there just to do that if I just need that time alone, because this is a small house and not always can I get time to meditate alone or feel like I'm connected to my divinity. So I will go out there to do that sometimes. So also there are intention specific altars, and I was counting today and in my home, I have 6 altars that I have that are kind of placed all around my home, mostly in the living room and on the entryway. And I have, I'm gonna think about it. So I have, when you first come into my home, I have a small altar set up that is for prosperity and abundance. So I have like some candles, I have a beautiful citrine sphere, I have, let's see, some citrine chips or points, jade, a green quartz, I'm trying to think of what else I have there. And I think I might have a raw emerald. And then I have this cool box that I put some ones in a citrine point that I put inside of it. And for me, what that does is bring in, it's a way for me to center my intention on bringing in prosperity and abundance into my home, into my life, and into my family's life. So It's very, very simple. There's not a ton of stuff up there. I'm going to go ahead and post pictures in our Witchy Woman Friends group so that you can kind of see what I'm talking about. An altar does not have to be super, super complicated. Mine vary from simple to elaborate. The ones that are in my living room are very simple. There's one that I will put up, and it's one I dedicate for family and love. And it's just on this little shelving unit that I have, and I've got a couple cute frames that my daughter had written some sayings in for decorations when we had our wedding, our hand fasting. I have our hand fasting cord, and then I've got some rose quartz, some malachite, and a pretty sage bundle with some flowers, some roses and stuff that I had made. And for me, what that is it signifies my family. It signifies the love that we have to give each other. And for me, this altar, the intention for it is to keep bringing in that love and an understanding into our family. And I will meditate in front of this one often, because anybody that's in a family knows that there can be tension and conflict sometimes. And when I need to release that, I will sit in front of it. I will meditate. I will visualize releasing all of that negativity, any kind of grudges or anything that I'm hanging on to. I will visualize letting it go. And then I will kind of call in that loving energy to fill its space, to help heal and fill its space. I hope that makes sense. And let's see, what else do I have? I've got one for protection. It's strictly for protection. I have a crap load of smoky quartz. I have a smoky quartz lamp, another frame with some sayings in it that basically is inviting the divine protection for my family and for our marriage and for each other. And I have a really cool Septarian, a black Septarian heart that I have there. I have a cute little crow. I can't remember what else I got there, but I'll put pictures up. Anyway, that one is just for protection. So that one, I am calling in any kind of energy that is protective and filtering, and it will filter out the crappy energy and keep the good energy in. Anyway, that's what that one's for. I'm trying to think of the other ones. Oh, I have one specific deity altar set up in my home, and that one's for Hecate. And I'll put a picture of it up as well. And what I've included in that one is I have a really cool brass statue of her. I have laid things around the statue that I feel she likes. So I have a mugwort smoke stick there. I have a little selenite bowl that has the crystals that are associated with her, mostly like black or brown or red ones. So I've got, I've got some obsidian, some black tourmaline. I have smoky quartz, red jasper. And then I have some flowers that I picked for her and put in this little tiny jar with a cork lid, and some candles that are around her. I have a black candle there too. Anyway, that is my, and I put some herbs in there. I think I have a star anise and some rowan berries that I put in there, but those are just that's like the little offering bowl that I have for her. And that is that's to honor her. She has been an archetype or deity that I really have connected to lately, and I wanted to honor her because I feel like she's helped me through a lot of the things I've been going through. So I leave things, and I have that altar up for her. And let's see, what's the other one? Oh, I have one for my spirit guides and my spirit team. I have one that just reminds me that they're with me all the time, and it's literally on this little nook it's literally on this little spot on where I have my router. That's my dog, Freddy. You can't do that if we're gonna podcast. He growls at everything, and normally I don't let Freddy in the room when I record because he barks at everything. So those of you that were missing, like, my little doggies, they're totally in here and causing chaos today. Pablo is barking and growling, and Freddy, quit. So anyway, guys, they're really not happy today. So anyway, I have a ton of different ones. So those are my intention specific altars. So they can be, like I said, they can be as elaborate or simple as you want. So an altar doesn't have to have all of the things. You don't have to go down a category and go, okay, I need a candle, I need this, I need that in order to make it an altar. An altar is whatever you have dedicated as a sacred or special spot for you for reminder of intention or for intention purposes. I hope that makes sense. And I hope you could hear over the growling dogs. I really don't know what the hell they're barking or growling at because I didn't hear nothing. Okay. So I want to now focus on the tools that can go on your altar. Altar tools are an amazing way to focus energy on the intention of your working. So whatever you're doing or pulling in or whatever that intention may be. It's also an amazing way to represent your faith or religion or path or whatever it is. I have one, I forgot to mention earlier, but I do have one that just is dedicated to Buddha. And the reason I have one dedicated to Buddha is because going to that Buddhist monastery last year really changed my life. A lot of different things happened after there. And I feel like after I left, I was at a different place, a better place spiritually. It's not like I become a Buddhist or anything, but a lot of realizations happened while I was there, while I was in the silence and meditating that much. So I wanted to basically, you know, honor that space that I was in. And when I see that altar and when I focus on it or meditate near it, I can remember that feeling of being in the monastery and that special spiritual feeling. So that one, that's what that one's for. Anyway, I digress. Altar tools. Okay. I'm going to start with candles because I think that's the most common or simple tool. So a candle can represent all kinds of things. Color is usually one of the things to set apart the intention. So pink for love, gold for abundance. Those are just a couple of examples. The most common you're going to see is one white candle. If you can't have any other candle, if that's all you've got, a white candle stands in for all other things. So the candle itself is a tool that represents the element of fire. You can have one single candle on your altar to represent spirit, or two to represent each the god and the goddess. You can have specific ones to represent a deity, or you can have spell candles to work with when you're doing stuff like that. So if I'm doing a prosperity spell, I'm gonna use gold or green or yellow, that kind of thing, for abundance. My very first altar, like, just was like an end table that I got at Goodwill, and it had a white candle that I bought from Walmart. That's all I had. I was in the closet. So that was all I had, and it worked great. I think that whatever you use, it's your intention that really matters anyway, right? So candles. Candles is a great altar tool. The next one I want to talk about is incense. So I think incense is used a ton. It's used in spiritual practices as well as just, you know, because it smells good. But today we're going to talk about it as an incense or as an altar tool. So there are different types of incenses. I think the most common one you'll see, you even can get that at Walmart, or stick incenses. Stick incense. There's also cones, resin, loose incense, and rope incense are just some of the kinds that I can think of off the top of my head. Incense for me represents the element of air. I use incense specifically for each intention that I'm working with. So if I'm doing an abundance or prosperity work, I'm going to use cinnamon incense. I have these wonderful smelling cinnamon incense sticks. And for me, that signifies, it signifies action. It signifies prosperity and abundance to me. And for working with a full moon, I really love frankincense resin incense. It smokes up really good. And for me, frankincense smells like a full moon. I don't know how that makes sense, but it does. Our olfactory system is linked directly to our limbic system, which bypasses our conscious mind. And that evokes memories and emotions, very powerful ones. So what that means is when you smell something, it can make you feel something. immediately. So when I smell frankincense, I immediately feel a very calm, powerful, and spiritually connected feeling. And to me, that's the full moon. Probably because that's the incense I've always used during a full moon. So I have that link there, and it makes that emotion come out as soon as I smell it. Nag Champa stick incense is what I use every day to do daily meditations. So when I smell that, I get, you know, my breathing slows down, my monkey mind stops bouncing around, my heart rate even lowers, and then I can start to feel my shoulders kind of drop and my body start to relax. But that's, it's memory, it's that limbic system reacting to a smell, which is amazing. Incenses can be used for all kinds of things on your altar. It can be used to represent an element, to help during spells, as an offering to a deity. There's tons of different things you can use incense for, but it's definitely a tool that is common that I wanted to mention. Okay, the next tool or tools I want to talk about would be the athame and the bowline knife. A lot of times I think these two get mixed up. The athame is a ritual knife, and it's dull. It's not sharp, and it's never used to cut physical items. A lot of times they're made from some sort of metal. That's the traditional material for them. But I've also seen them made out of crystal, like carved obsidian knives. Athames are absolutely freaking gorgeous. Mine in particular is made from selenite. It is a dull selenite knife, or selenite athame, and I absolutely love it. Traditionally, the athame represents the god, the element of fire, and sun. It has powerful masculine energy, and I use my athame to cut energetic cords. I will draw and release circles during ritual, and if it feels right, sometimes I use it to direct energy during any kind of workings I'm doing. So I don't have a wand, but I do use my athame, kind of like one sometimes, I guess. So the bowline knife is a sharp knife, and it usually has like a crescent shaped blade. So it's kind of a curved blade, and it's actually used to cut herbs, ropes, ribbon, string, whatever. And it also is used to carve symbols and things like that into your ritual candles. So the difference between the two, they're both an altar tool and can be used during ritual, but one is used for energetic things and the other one is used for physical things, if that makes any sense. I actually don't even have a bowline knife, not like a real one. I have a tiny knife that used to be like part of a knife set for our kitchen that I just sort of commandeered. So it's sharp and I use it for things. So you don't have to be all fancy about it. The next one I want to talk about is the chalice, because it is the partner to the athame. So the chalice is basically a pretty cup of some sort, and it represents the goddess, moon, and the element of water. So the athame is that phallic masculine symbol, and the chalice is that feminine womb symbol. I do not drink out of mine very often, but it is on my altar and represents, for me, mainly the element of water. Every once in a while, if I have some kind of charged moon water or something like that, I will put it in there. But other than that, it just is on my altar to represent that element. Sometimes you'll see bells or sound bowls. So I want to talk about sound clearing tools to use on your altar. Sometimes I will use those to clear out energy before and after any kind of work I do on my working altar. And that's just extra. You don't have to have one. But I have this tiny little bell that if the air or the energy just feels kind of dense or like it needs to move a little better, I will use the bell to move it around. I know there are other specific intentions for a bell if you're a Wiccan or follow a different path, but for me, this is all it is. It's a sound clearing item. Offering bowls is the next tool. Anyway, offering bowls. I use them quite a bit. I have a couple different ones. If I'm working with a specific deity, I like to leave herbs, crystals, oils, or whatever as an offering for them. Like, for example, the one I have for Hecate has specific crystals and herbs that I have found as things that she likes, or things you can find online that are corresponding to that specific deity. You can also use it just to hold herbs that represent moon phases. When I'm doing a sabbat, I'll fill it with things that represent that turn of the wheel. When I'm doing a spell, it will be filled with things that correspond. So crystals, herbs, things like that, that correspond with the intention that I'm working with. You can also use it to fill with offerings to your ancestors. Mine, the one I'm using right now, is copper, and it has some really pretty designs on the side of it, and I really, really like it. So you can use different kinds of bowls. It doesn't need to be fancy. It can be a cereal bowl, whatever you've got. It doesn't need to be something elaborate. I have some selenite bowls that I really like to use as well, but really it can be anything. If you don't have access to expensive tools or the internet to get a bunch of stuff, then just use whatever you got. Altar cloths are something else that I forgot I should have talked about, so we're going to talk about them now. Altar cloths go on your altar before everything else goes on. And for different faiths, it can be very, very important or not. For me, it's basically making things pretty. I have a couple of them that I use. I have a black plain one. Like, it doesn't have anything on it. It's just a black cloth, and I use that for my everyday altar cloth on my working altar. I have some that represent different times of the year, so like my one for Ostara is bright and colorful. It has like yellows and oranges and pinks and purples. It's just really, really beautiful, and I like it for that. For the different kinds, there's different turns of the wheel, it's going to be different colors for me, for the most part. If I'm celebrating a sabbat, it's going to usually, there's the train, it's going to usually correspond with whatever color that is associated with that. So my favorite one to decorate my altar is definitely Samhain. I have a black, glittery, sparkly one that I use, and then I have a lace overlay that I lay over it, and it is so gothic and beautiful. I love it. It feels dramatic for me, and anyway, it's my favorite time of the year anyway. So my altar cloth and all my altar decorations for Samhain tend to be way over the top compared to the rest of the year. but I really, really like that time of the year, so and it shows. Statues and figurines can also be put on your altars. And it doesn't have to be your working altar specifically. I have statues and figurines on all kinds of different altars. It's a great way to add intention and to decorate it. When I'm working with Hecate, I'll move her statue to my working altar. So I have one dedicated for her in my living room that's like an all-the-time altar that's just out all the time. But when I'm working with her in particular, I'll take that brass statue that I have of her and take it to my working altar to help me represent her and connect with her a little easier. I have crystal animal carvings, and I'll place those on different altars for different reasons. I have this really cool kitty cat, a selenite kitty cat, that I love to put on my one I meditate in front of most often. And that one is the one I have that are for my spirit guides and spirit. It's where I go to connect to them. So a lot of times, for some reason, I just love kitty cats. I'm connected to them, and I'll put that on there. I have horse ones, and what else do I have? I have some turtles. Anyway, I have a bunch of different ones, and you can use those to connect to that specific energy or archetype. For Ostara this year, and you can find them all over. For Ostara this year, I found a little chicken bunny, like figurines at the dollar store, and I used those to decorate my Ostara, my altar when it was Ostara. And it looked so super cute, because I had like all these colorful crystals, and my altar cloth on there that was really bright and colorful, and then I had all these little bunnies and chicks on it. And it really represented the season well and helped me get in the mood for that turn of the wheel. The last tool I think I'll talk about is the altar tile. I do not have an altar tile, but some witches use them depending on what faith or what calls to you. But an altar tile is usually placed in the center of the altar, and it's usually some sort of symbol, such as a pentacle or a pentagram. I've also seen some really cool green man tiles, and these are used as like a centerpiece to symbolize your faith or represent the meaning to your practice. I currently do not have one. I've never had one. I just wanted to mention that because some people really do connect with those and feel like they're needed, and it's required for some faiths. Anyway, the last thing I kind of want to say about all these tools is you do not need to go online or go to a metaphysical shop and buy all the tools. You don't need that to practice this particular path effectively. There are tons of things that factor into whether you can get them or not. Cost, availability, location, space limitations. All that is a deciding factor in whether you can use all that stuff in your practice or you really need to or not. There's no rule that says that in order to have a successful ritual or spell that you absolutely need to have every tool available. There's no checklist in my path that says I have to have all those things. Your intention in the work is the most important part. If you do not have the intention, then it does not matter if you have $2,000 worth of beautiful tools. It's not going to work. Your spell or your ritual work will fall flat. Some of the most amazing, memorable, powerful rituals I have ever done have been with a single white candle outside with no other tools, just the energy of nature. The energetic moments that have made the most impact on my life are the simple ones. I do tend to really, really love the beautiful candles. I love, crystals and sparkly shit. I love all of the elaborate things. But being a witch to me means that I don't actually need those things to get my work done. It's nature and my connection to energy is what creates the outcome that I am seeking, that I am reaching for, that I am asking for. So, although they're fun, you do not need them all. It is fun to have them all, but I feel like we live in a very materialistic world, and relying on all this material stuff isn't good for a spiritual practice. I think that for me, starting out in the closet, having, this little end table that I got with a white candle made me learn how to rely on myself and to rely on my connection to my spirituality to get things done. So if you are a newbie witch and you're in the closet and you can't have all these things, do not sweat it. You don't need all the things. All you need is you, your intention, and your connection. With that wise words, I think we'll move on. I wanted to give a big, big shout out to the Patreon contributors. There's not a whole bunch of you, but I was able to purchase I was able to purchase a microphone to take on the road. So it's this, like, the little mics that clip on your collar or your clothing. I was able to get one of those that have two of those that click into my phone. So I'm able to do remote interviews. So I'm going to take that and we're going to go to the Panhandle Pride event in Scottsbluff, Nebraska this weekend, and I'm gonna be able to do interviews and record what's going on and kind of connect with people out there, and I will make sure that that's available to you guys. I really, really appreciate it. So I wanted to give a shout out to Amy J, Brandy M, Christina H, Heidi B, and Robin G. I appreciate you guys so much. thank you. I've been wanting to get this specific thing in order to do better podcasts and to be able to do more things for you. And I was able to do that with your help. So thank you very, very much. I also wanted to remind you that I will be doing a live video on that Patreon page, and we're going to be doing it on tools. So I'm going to get out a bunch of my tools. We'll get on a video. You can ask about them. You can ask questions. I can show you what mine look like so you can kind of get an example of what I actually work with. And again, what I work with isn't going to be the same as what every other witch out there is working with, but at least you can get an idea and we can talk about it. I can answer any questions you have about the episode or whatever you want to talk about. But that will be on the Patreon page. So go to patreon.com/witchywomanpodcast. I'll have that in the show notes as well. The amethyst in an above category gets you everything. It gets you the free card readings that I'm doing. It gets you the Q&As, the live videos, all of the 101 stuff that I'm going to be doing. So this is one of my first videos that we'll be doing that's like a 101, like Altars 101 and Altar Tools 101. I'm also going to be doing other ones in the future. So stay tuned for those. I thought it'd be cool to do like mini classes on that page. So if you would like to join our private group, click on that link and join. And if you would like to reach me, you can email me, Danae@DanaeSuite.com. You can also find me on Instagram at @WitchyWomanPodcast. There's Pablo licking his balls. I know some of you were mentioning that you kind of missed the Pablo balls thing. Pablo quit. Anyway, you can also find me on Facebook. Go to, for the page, just type in Witchy Woman Podcast and the page should pop up. We have a closed group called Witchy Woman Friends. And in that group, we talk about each episode. I ask for suggestions on content. We will post hilarious and fun memes. I talk about the things that are going on, like full moons, new moons, if there's any sabbats going on, if we have any weird planetary movements. I'm going to post about that and warn you guys. So anyway, it's a fun group. Go ahead and click join on that and I will approve you. I think that's it. So I guess until next time, stay witchy. Bye.